flow through soil pipes, and in Siyut transport, talking about sediment transport due to the internal erosion. Hopefully you can hear this.
Oh. Hear what?
It's not playing. Oh, that's because I have to hit the arrow.
No, the media is not found.
Well, it was working in the simulations. Sorry, this is the highlight of my talk.
Well, this is the difference between practice and theory.
Yeah, this is what happens when you go to the speaker rooms and it works.
Sorry.
I should have put my own in there. Anyway, in this condition, you would have seen no surface runoff, but the extremely rapid flow through the subsurface, which is going to speed up my talk because we've got another slide later. So, with the video. So, soil pipes, we're talking about very large macropores. And why are they important? They're important in a lot of the extreme erosion events, from landslides to very recently, this is in our town, one of our major highways had a sinkhole develop. It's been known to attribute to levee, dam failures. They feel like 50% of the levee and dam failures are by this pipe flow. And as well as ephemeral gullies, because the pipes continue to enlarge until you get a tunnel collapse. How many of you saw in the news last week about the collapse? They called it a sinkhole, but it was a tunnel collapse in Mississippi. It swallowed up 14 cars. It was in an IHOP parking lot, and it was over 50 meters long, 15 meters wide. And that was just a form of pipe flow in the tunnel collapse. Oops. So the soil pipes, very large macropores, you can think of them that way, typically form in hill slopes or soils in which you've got some type of water restrictive layer, maybe a clay layer in lush soils, oftentimes with frangipane, and you'll see a gully maybe and attribute that to surface runoff. But upslope, you see these other features on the surface, anywhere from these flute holes that are open. There may be short gullies. They call them discontinuous gullies. I call them gully windows. Sinkholes, as you can see here. When you see these up above a gully, it's a good indication that you've got soil pipes and that's the controlling mechanism of why you've got a gully to form on the landscape. So what is a soil pipe? You know, we in soil physics, we talk a lot about macropores. We've seen a lot of talks on macropores today. Well, what's the difference in a macropore and a soil pipe? That's a good question. There isn't a real definition. I do like what Jones, who's probably the leading expert on pipes, says, that it's pores that show a water sculptured form. It shows some form of they've been enlarged by this internal erosion. But oftentimes we consider soil pipes to be ones that are parallel to the soil surface, and whereas macropores are more vertical. But there isn't a clear definition. But typically, these soil pipes, in my feeling, is starts from a macropore, maybe in a root channel developed as the roots desiccate, maybe a worm hole, but that the flow starts taking place, and if the flow rate is fast enough, you are going to get particle detachment. You're going to get this internal erosion, and it'll create features at the surface which allows the flow rate to accelerate, which of course accelerates the internal erosion to form these soil pipes. This is the soil pipe I was going to show you a video of the flow on. So, you know, we've done a lot of work in soil science on macropores, going back to the papers by Thomas and Phillips that really brought us our attention to this. And I thought in Nick Jarvis's review, he had an interesting point about how much the papers on preferential flow, macropore flow, have increased in the last 30 years. Currently, a lot of the thought is that the macropores are short sections, but they self-organize in a landscape. You get a short flow through a macropore, but as the soil wets up, these macropores become more continuous. But we've done very little work as soil physicists and soil scientists on soil pipes, and yet there's been a tremendous amount of work done in landscapes. I think Jones said over the 40 years since soil pipes were first found, there's been a tremendous amount of work in catchment hydrology, an area that I know many of us in soil science work in, watershed hydrology. But this work is really focused on the sizes of the soil pipes and their distribution in the landscape, flow rates through the soil pipes, the roles of soil pipes in catchment hydrology, and particularly in connectivity of landscapes. But there's been very little work on the actual mechanisms of the flow, very little work on the internal erosion and sediment transport. And so you can see some of the complications even in this slide, is that you've got a hill slope and then you've got flow, artesian flow to the surface, or you've got surface runoff being intercepted, and then you've got very large pipe features. So how do we model pipe flow? The most common approach to modeling pipe flow is just as many have talked about today in modeling macropore flow. It's using Richard's Bass equation in which this pipe is treated as a highly conductive media. Well, how appropriate is that? I've done work on soil pipes in small beds, soil beds, which you pack soil around a metal pipe and then pull the pipe out, and you can put it under a constant flow rate. Or you can put it under a constant head, and I bet you this one doesn't work either. Let's see.
Be optimistic.
Be optimistic. No, this one's actually going to work. This is flow into the soil pipe under a steady inflow rate, a constant inflow rate. But what you find with time is that the outflow isn't constant. Even though the inflow into the pipe is constant, it begins to surge and with very high sediment concentration. So what's going on? This is what's been attributed to landslides, is that you've got flow through a pipe, and then you get mass failure within the pipe that clogs it, will even stop the flow, and you get a tremendous pressure buildup within the pipe, opens up, flushes that clog out, and it starts flowing again. So you see, steady inflow is not steady outflow. The problem is we weren't able to really measure any of these pressure fluctuations within the pipes, because we're measuring with a tensiometer in the soil, not within the pipe, and measuring it over, I think this was experiments were 15-second recordings. So what we did do was model these same experiments using Hydrus 3D, so it must be right? It's Hydrus 3D. And it does give us an effective way of being able to look at the processes in which we have flow going through this conductive layer, the soil pipe, and then at the same time in our experiments that you get this clogging of the pipe. Well, we clog the pipe and you see this sudden pressure buildup. The problem is this takes place in less than a second. So if you're going to measure this within pipes, you're going to have some extreme tensiometers that can measure within those seconds. But it does give you, pretty much corroborates what's been said about landslides being formed by the pressure buildup. So there's a lot of complications in modeling the pipe flow. This is experiments done by Greg Hansen on levee and dam failures. And one of the problems is, of course, the pipes aren't always totally filled, even under a constant head. The flow, it's not laminar. You're going to have turbulent flow. How do you describe the properties associated with this, the water retention properties, the conductivity properties? And then what's driving these surges and dynamics of the flow is the sediment transport, that these pipes become limited in their ability to transport the sediment, at which point you're going to get this clogging. So extremely difficult as to how to model these. And just recently, Bevan and Gervin revisited their classic paper in 1982 on macropores and said very interesting thing, said that it's clear that a Richards equation-based approach will not be appropriate. I think that's the same conclusion I've come to. The problem is, they said, there's still not an adequate physical theory for linking these types of flows, and that's what we're talking about today in this session. What are the limitations as you go across landscapes? Part of the problem is you've got pipes here that are taking water to the surface, and the pipe just below it's taking water to the subsurface. You've got very little interaction, you know, when we do dice tracer studies with the actual matrix. Yet these pipes can be connected for hundreds of meters across the landscape and are very important to landscape hydrology. Well, we've done some tracer studies in the soil pipes in fields in Mississippi, and what we applied was a stream flow model. and then adapted the stream flow model, Otis, to a soil pipe. And I won't go into details other than say we looked at our breakthrough curves under different reaches of the stream pipes, and the stream flow model does a very good job for most of the reaches. And the velocities that we find in the subsurface flow are right in the same scale of velocities of streams. So we're basically talking about underground stream systems during storm events. So then how do we describe then the internal erosion and the sediment transport? The most common approach from erosion research is excess shear stress equation, but that's based upon surface linear surface flow, which is certainly not true in a soil pipe, even though this approach with the excess shear stress equation has been applied to describing the internal erosion of soil pipes. But of course, in a soil pipe, you've also got gravity effects, and you've got the weight of the soil affecting the roofs of the soil pipes. And these soil pipes are growing with time, which changes the geometry. So the excess shear stress equation is already in question as to how appropriate it is from a surface sediment transport prediction. You can imagine the ambiguity with applying it to a soil pipe. So a lot of progress needs to be made in this. Some of the other complications, you've got this internal erosion putting sediment into the soil pipe, but you've got places where this comes to the surface, and you can see the sediment plume around it. And in fact, for many of these open flute holes, they will grow up with time as sediment is brought to the surface. So you're losing sediment out of that pipe system as it continues to move down through the landscape. So we're talking about extreme difficulties in Mollet. I'm not trying to scare you away. I'm trying to entice you with this. But there's been a lot of work in open channels on sediment transport. And if the flow velocities in the subsurface through the soil pipes are in line with stream flows, open channels, then maybe we can take a lot of what's been learned from open channel sediment transport experiments and apply that to the soil pipes. There's been a lot of work on bed forms, moving bed forms, the roughness of these streams, because the soil pipes are not smooth-walled, particularly as you get mass failures from the roof. You've got very extreme conditions of roughness, but the bed does start to move in these soil pipes. And then there's also been a lot of work by hydraulic engineers on industrial pipes that they pump slurries through. So they've done a lot of work on slurry flows. Their interest is in losing the pressure downslope of a clog. Our interest is in the increased pressure upslope of the clog that's causing these mass failures. But maybe we can apply a lot of what they've learned to our conditions. So there's a lot of work. There's a lot of knowledge gaps. Some of the things that I don't think I even mentioned in here is, how do we map these soil pipes? If they're changing from macropores into larger features of soil pipes, and these are becoming self-organized during a rainstorm event, how do we map the pipes to start with? And then once we map and know where they're at, how are we going to model the flows through these? And that's, I think, is where we need to go in the future. Danny had said you're going to ask me what we need to go. Well, I think we need a lot more work of how you connect these different features as you go across the landscape. And then there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done in internal erosion, sediment transport. This group here is known for doing soil transport. I'm going to encourage you to apply that knowledge to studying sediment transport through the subsurface. So with that, I'll end.